And there's this paralyzing phobia that sets in on us. And you have to be prepared by prayer and the predisposition of your mind to be willing to break through carnal conversation to engage in spiritual conversation. Because carnal conversation is our native habitat. That's where we are physically. We can talk football, baseball, basketball, politics, and a whole lot of frivolous things. But how do you open that door on the subject of spiritual things with the person with whom you may get a rejection? And really, that's what's at hand, isn't it? The fear of rejection. And how to overcome that? Well, those brothers have decided to launch out. And so if God hasn't already given them a revelation on how to simply communicate to people simply, non-threateningly, without a threatful disposition, without coming off as if you are selling them something or manipulating them, because you got people who do that, then he'll show you guys the way to be fishers of men. He'll show you how to introduce yourself to people and share things with people and get them to receive, simply receive your materials. This is all you have to do. And then you're going to run across that person, Dante and Brother Matt, that's going to actually, and Brother Jimmy, that's going to actually be hungry. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You run across this person that's hungry. And then all of a sudden you are stuck for 30 minutes or 40 minutes. And you got to get the number because you got to get back because a door has opened. But that's because the mind is predispositioned. Like Paul said, I am always ready to share the gospel. And I trust that God would make all of us like that. Able to just be ready to talk about Christ and then to hook people up with those resources by which they can hear the gospel. That is our task. But we also ourselves first have to be men and women committed to hearing God's word. And that's what's going to take place tonight. George will be speaking for 40 minutes and I will stop him at the appropriate time so we can have some healthy Q&A. And also, if there's some issues that you guys are struggling with, we're going to talk about that over the process of this time so we can kind of edify one another. So James chapter 1, verse 19 through 27 reads as follows. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Thus is the reading of Scripture. I want you to also pray for Brother Paul Liberati, our deacon, one of our deacons, because he will be speaking to us next week as we return to our indicatives. I would encourage all of you to come out as well so we can continue to grow during this fall season in those indicatives, what we are in Christ. Pray for Brother Paul so he can be ready to minister to us. Now give Brother George a hand as he comes up.
Good evening. Can you hear me well? Thank you so much. Brother Mark, thank you for your prayer. It was like a sermon by itself. When the Spirit is present, then you can sense it and you can feel it. And thank you again, brothers, for coming. It's always great joy to see you every Saturday coming to fellowship with each other. And I thank God who planted that desire in our hearts to continually want to seek Him, to hear Him, and to do His will. And I pray that someday this our desire will be realized, so that it will be like a lamp up on the hill, so that men and women can see and truly say, yes, Brother Dennis is the child of God. Brother Mark is the child of God, or Charlie. Okay. So that's my own personal prayer. I ask God, there are so many things wrong in my life, and I pray to God, I say, Lord, take away my immoralities, or take me away from this world. Because I don't want anything in my life to be a stumbling block to my children to hear you and to have fellowship with you. I say, Lord, you know me better than I know myself. You know my weaknesses. Heal me or kill me. That was what I asked the Lord. And the Lord has been working in me. So tonight, I ask permission from Brother Jesse to finish up what we started in James. And I think it's appropriate now that we're moving into a new section. Because here, what we're dealing tonight is response to the Word of God. How do we respond to the Word of God? I'm going to read some passages, and I will make sure I stick to the time. In Psalms chapter 1, it says, Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scorners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. And then you go over to Psalm 119, which is really about the Word of God. The first verse there says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. And then it says, verse 9, wherewith shall a young man keep his way, cleanse his way? Says, by taking heed according to your word. And then he says, verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from your commandment. I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not, O Lord, do not take your word from me. Order my steps according to your word, so that iniquity will not have control over me. He says, princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stand in awe of your word. My heart stands in awe of your word. And then, if you go over into the New Testament, I just want to share with you a few scriptures that has to do with the Word, the Word, the Word. In John chapter 5, verse 37, Jesus said, "And the Father himself, who has sent me, has borne witness of me. And you have neither his word, and you have neither, you have neither heard his voice at any time, nor has seen his shape." Okay? "And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him, you believe not. And you search the scripture, for in them that you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me, yet you will not come to me that you may have what? Life." And then, in John chapter 6, verse 44, says, "No man can come to the Father. No man can come to the Father. No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draws them. And it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and that has learned of the Father comes to me." Every man, every woman that has heard, learned of the Father comes to me. When they learn and hear, you know what they're going to hear? When Christ comes, when Christ is preached, surrender. Because he is the everything that God requires for man to have a relationship with him. If you look, if you remember the story of the Samaritan woman, which is in John chapter 4, there was one statement that she made, which I treasure so much. And that statement is in John chapter 4, verse 25. "The woman said unto him," that's John chapter 5, John chapter 4, verse 25. "The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah comes, who is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. I know that Messiah, who is called Christ, shall come. And when he is come, he shall tell us all things." How does this woman know about this Messiah called Christ? Well, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, that was where Moses, the servant of the Lord, said, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hearken." The Lord thy God will raise up a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hearken. So this woman, all these years, she heard that passage. She heard that treasure. And it was in her heart. Moses, it's like Moses made an appointment for Christ with this woman. And so Christ was going from Galilee to Judea. But he had a need to pass through Samaria. And that need was this woman, this elect, who has been waiting. She had had five husbands. And now she was living with another man. We don't know if those men were dead or not, but she has had five husbands. And she has been longing for this word which Moses spoke. And so when in the discourse between her and Christ, Christ said that we worship what we know. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and truth. And the woman said, I know this man called Christ, the Messiah. When He comes, He will tell me, He will show me everything I need to know. And then Christ said, I, who is speaking to you, I am He. She left her pitcher of water, ran back home, and said, come and see a man who has told me everything that I've ever done. Is this not the Christ? That's the word of God. So what the psalmist, and there are many more passages, what the psalmist, and these passages I have shared with you, he's saying is this. A true saving faith. Any true believer will have a deep, deep hunger for the word of God. The attitude of a true believer is that they have a deep, deep longing. Their deepest affection, their highest satisfaction and joy is to hear and to obey the word of God. So my question tonight is that your longing? Is that your position? From the passage that Brother Jesse read, it's not just hearing the word. If you hear the word and you don't do it, you have not heard it. You hear the word and do it, that's an evidence that truly you are a child of God. So tonight, James has been talking about, you know, the test of our faith. The whole book of James is about saving faith, making sure that my faith, your faith, are true saving faith. And in the beginning of the chapter, the first test that James shared with us is the test of trials. Trials will come into our various lives at various times. Trials that will require wisdom that you and I cannot muster. Heavenly wisdom. Wisdom that comes from union with Christ through His word. That was the first trial, the first test. And then the second test is the test of temptation. We are going to be tempted no matter what. I'm tempted every day. Every day, even when I sleep. Like Brother Mark said, old memories, old pictures keep flashing back, pulling me. Things that I thought I've buried resurfaces again, agitating my heart, wanting me to launch out. And I'm crying. Say, Lord, help me. Help me. And so when those moments of temptation comes, when all your degrees, when all your experiences in life is meaningless, where and to whom can you turn to? Where would you go? Jesus Christ asked His disciples when the other people were leaving, do you want to go also? Peter said, Lord, where would you go? You are eternal life. You have the word of eternal life. So, for us, the only place we can go, the only truth that we have come to know that is real, is the word of God to defeat temptation. Because you and I cannot, in our own nature, resist the enemy. We can't. If you think you can, you are deceiving yourself. You are deceived. And believe me, I have been deceived so many, many, many times. When I think I can take this corner and do this and I'll be okay, not knowing that I'm digging a hole for myself. Slowly, slowly, before then, my neck is stuck. I have fallen. That thing which I hated, that thing which I despised, I find myself deeply wrapped around it. So, now James is saying that the third test is the test of how we respond to the Word of God. So tonight, and the attitude, how we respond to the Word of God, will show whether truly we are His or we are being deceived. There are three things in this area that I'm going to share with you, and I will try to stick to the time. Please, Brother Jesse, hold me. Thank you. The three things are a submissive heart. It says in James, verse 19, Therefore, my beloved brethren, when you go through the book of James, he uses this style of writing. He is showing how much he loved them. He always addresses them, beloved, my brethren, my brothers. He loves them. And yet, when you listen to his commands, they are very, very strong. They are very, very direct. He doesn't mince words in those areas. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, put away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Going back to verse 19, James is referring to what they already know before. That's wherefore, or therefore, my beloved brethren. He's making a reference back to verse 18, where it says, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. God, of his own sovereign will, has brought us a new creature. By what means? The word of truth, which is the gospel, the law, the precepts. So that we can be a peculiar people to God. So because you know this thing, you have experienced the power, the transforming power of the Word of God. The Word of God brought us forth from darkness into light. The Word of God, he's saying, brought us when we were dead and now gave us life. By the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, we, who were once outside, far, 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 have been made what? Near. He says, because we were enemies of God before, but now, by the word of God, we have what? Peace. Everlasting peace. And by the word of God, not only have we become sons of God, but now we have also become heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Everything that God has, because of what Christ did, is ours. And that is made known to us by the word of God. So, my brethren, my beloved brethren, you must continue the hearing of the word of God. You must continue to listen to be quick, to be swift, to hear, which means seize every available opportunity to you. Seize every opportunity available to you to come and sit and listen to the Word of God. Because that is the highest thing, that is the highest investment any human soul can make. Because it is through the Word of God that the righteousness of God is unfolded. So you must be quick, be swift. You must be eager, be anxious. This is where it is good to be an opportunist. To come. And if you look in the context of the people that James is writing, if you remember, in those times, they didn't have churches like we have. Churches were in homes, crowded homes. So it's urging them to be quick to come. And I think I have some examples here that I would like to share with you from the scripture. Let's go to Acts of the Apostles, please. If you remember Peter, the Apostle Peter, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. The background is this. If you remember, Peter was still a Jew, acting like a Jew, not a believer. He was in Caesarea, and he saw a vision. A basket was dropped down from heaven. And in that basket, there were different types of animals. Some considered clean and some considered unclean by the Jews. And the voice came and said, "Peter, arise and eat." Peter said, "No, Lord, I can't eat anything that is unclean." After three times, the voice said, "Peter, get ready. I'm sending you to Joppa. There are some people waiting for you." Before Peter could finish, there were people waiting at the door. There was a man, I'm trying to remember his name. Cornelius, thank you, brother Jesse. Cornelius was one of God's children, a Gentile. But he was one that feared God, whose right was God. And God wanted to reveal himself to Cornelius. See, you and I can share the gospel. God alone reveals himself through Christ to us when he is ready. So now, God is ready to reveal himself to Cornelius. And then this is what he said. If I may go to 31, verse 31. "And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy arms are hard in remembrance in sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee." Verse 33, "Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Cornelius saw a vision. God wanted to speak to him, to reveal Christ to him. God gave him a message. "Go to Joppa. There's a man that you should, ask to come with you, Simon Peter." And Peter, in the meantime, was fighting within himself. God said, "Go." So, Cornelius obeyed immediately. Immediately, he responded. That is how to be swift. Be quick to respond to the calling of the gospel of God. And I think Nehemiah, if we go to Nehemiah, that's in the Old Testament. Nehemiah, that is the book before Job, chapter 8. This is a very good passage here. If you remember, the Jews were in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And some of them have started coming back home. The temple was destroyed. The walls of the city were also in ruin. And they have a desire, a longing again, to go back and renew their relationship with the Lord. And so God granted Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer before the king, favor to go back to rebuild the wall. Zerubbabel was the one who rebuilt the temple. Now Nehemiah was the one who was going to help to rebuild the wall. Because without the wall being rebuilt, the temple, the city, was still vulnerable to enemies of God. So, after they have rebuilt, God granted them grace. And they completed the wall. And then, chapter 8, Nehemiah chapter 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spoke to Ezra. Ezra was the priest, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Verse 3. And he read from it facing the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They read the book, standing up from morning. They read the book. They were hungry. Something was missing. They found the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord commanded. Because of their hunger, they say, Ezra, bring that book. Bring that book. We have heard what God did for our forefathers. Bring that book. And they made a pulpit for Ezra. So that Ezra was looking above everybody else. And Ezra had some assistants. People who help men and women to comprehend, to understand what was being read. And after they have read for so many hours, verse 9, and Nehemiah, who is the Teshatar, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said unto the people, the day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept. And when they heard the words of the law, the people wept. Why were they weeping? Their sins. They wept. That is the right response. When the word comes with power, when the word comes with authority, its purpose, its aim is the heart. And when it conveys it with power, it breaks it. It makes it humble. It removes the pride so that you can hear and then obey. That was what was happening here. This process here, what was going on here, began a revival in the land. Perhaps someday, if we continue to be faithful, if we continue to be quick to hear, if we continue to be swift like eagle to come, maybe by the grace of God, God may even use us here. God may even use you and I to begin real change in the hearts of men, in the hearts of women, in the hearts of our children. Do you doubt that? Do you doubt that? God is able, really, honestly. And this is my own personal prayer, that I will see a change in my life that will make my sons and my daughters hungry for God, that my neighbors will see a deep, deep change in me and make them to ask, George, where do you go to worship? So we have to be quick. And then it says, we must also be slow to speak. Slow to speak. In, I like this passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, keep thy foot, or guard thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. And be more ready to hear. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Guard thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. There's somebody in the Bible that gave the sacrifice of fools. That was Saul. When God gave him command to go and destroy the Amalekites completely, child, woman, old and young, even pregnant women, destroy completely, destroy man and beast. Saul went. Saul spared Agag, the king, and Saul brought some of the cows back. And God was angry. Samuel went to Saul and said, Saul, what is this that I hear? Saul said, I brought this to offer sacrifices to God. And Samuel said, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Does God have pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices, or to obey the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. To obey is much, much better than all the sacrifices of religion that we can offer. God is not interested in that. God is interested in obedience. And so, when you go to the house of God, be slow to speak. It is a burden. Sometimes I wonder how men like Brother Jesse, who preaches every Sunday, and not Brother Jesse only, but all the preachers who preaches every Sunday, Tuesdays, men's meeting Saturday, Friday, how did they prepare? How did they get ready, have that frame of mind to come before men and women to speak? Because preachers, pastors, have the greatest burden. They will have the greatest condemnation in that day. So they have to be very, very careful to make sure so that you and I are not rushing to speak. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared by God. That is why it is good to sit. Let God Himself prepare me, prepare you. He says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God Himself will prepare your heart. God will prepare you, equip you, and get you ready When he's ready, God himself will send you. So it is better to be still, to be quiet, to sit down, to humble yourself and ask God, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. If you remember, in the story of Eli, the priest, he was 90 years old. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. God calls them the sons of Belial, which means worthless men. Can you imagine if God called your sons worthless men? They were worthless men because they didn't know the Lord. Even though they were in the temple of God, priest, serving the Lord. Their father Eli served Israel for 40 years. He put his son up and gave them favor. God was angry. And his son were abusing the women that came there and abusing the offerings. And so God did not speak to that people, Eli and his children, for a long, long time. But the boy Samuel, this is how the scripture describes it. You don't have to go there. It's in Samuel. I'll just read it briefly. I'm reading from Samuel chapter 2. Verse 12 says, now the sons of Eli were worthless men, they knew not the Lord. It describes the things they are doing. And then in verse 18, it says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, guarded with a linen ephod. And then over in verse 26, it says, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. The child Samuel, a childlike spirit. Eli's children were in charge of everything. They abused the system. They abused the relationship with God. And God did not speak to them. But Samuel was still there, content with the job that he was doing. When God was ready to speak, God bypassed Eli. God bypassed his two sons. God went directly to speak to Samuel. God went directly to speak to Samuel. The point I'm trying to make here is to be slow to speak. When your time comes, God will pull you out. When there's time for everything, when the time that God has set for you to shine, remember, Brother just mentioned that, I think, in the last service. When the time for you to shine, God himself will bring you out. Just like God called Samuel. And he called Samuel went to Eli. I didn't call you, go back. Samuel, God, he went again to Eli. Then Eli understood something was going on. The Lord was not speaking to Eli anymore. The Lord is ready to do something new with the boy, the child, Samuel. Yes. 3 and 4. That's where the calling, when God was calling Eli. When God was speaking to Samuel and calling him, and he thought it was Eli calling him. So we need to be slow to speak. In fact, if you go to James chapter 3, James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, my brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater judgment. That is why, if we are going to speak for God, we need to ask God to prepare us. and then for God to call us so that when we speak, we are speaking faithfully. We are not speaking on our own authority. And then the other command that James mentioned here is for us to be slow to anger. It doesn't say not to have anger. It says to be slow to anger. Because the anger of man cannot accomplish the righteousness of God. Now, I put down here, there's a just anger and also there's unrighteous anger. If you remember, when Jesus Christ, I think that was in Mark chapter 10. If you can go there, you can see it. In Mark chapter 10. When Christ healed, if you're there, chapter 10 verse 14. When they brought young children, and then the disciples were preventing the children from coming to Christ, then Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, permit the little children to come to me, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Christ was not happy. Christ was displeased with his disciples for wanting to prevent the little children from coming to him. And Christ was saying, don't do that. The kingdom, anybody who's going to enter into the kingdom of God has to take the form of a child. Any one of us here who's truly hungry for the kingdom of heaven, it doesn't matter how much we know, how much we think we know, we must come like my 4-year-old son. Humble. Humble. And then also in the same book, Mark, chapter, chapter 3. Sorry, did you say chapter 3, verse? Yes. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, this was the Pharisees. Because to them, the Sabbath day, you don't do anything, but if your ox falls into a hole, you can pull it out, but you can't heal. So Christ looked at them with anger, being grieved because of their hypocrisy. And this is what is considered a righteous anger. And in fact, if you look in Romans 1:8, I chose that place because it tells you why God is angry. God's anger is a just anger because it's in response to a violation of his law. Okay. When God exercises anger, it is a just anger because we have broken his law. And in Romans chapter 1 verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things, and it goes on. Then, verse 21, because when they knew God, from the creation, from everything, how did my wife get pregnant? It was the work of God. How is bones formed in the womb? Have you thought about that? How can another human being grow up in the belly of a woman, nourished, healthy, and when the time comes, God opens the birth canal and bring that child out? Yet we know all these things. And what do? We suppress them. We hide them. And we say, it's okay for me, a man, to marry another woman, and to marry another man. It's okay for another woman to marry another woman. And we call it love. We call it advancement. Now, do you see how we have opened the floodgate of God's anger? God's righteous anger, indignation, to burn. So whenever God shows anger, it is because of my sin, my disobedience, my rebellion. That was what Israel, over and over and over, in all their sojourn. Now, when we bring up the name Israel, you are the Israel. I am the Israel. Don't say them. Don't say they. Because you and I are doing the same thing over and over again. And you see, it is on the cross that God's righteous anger, the cross of Christ. And that is why we must preach the gospel. It was there on the cross that the anger of God was settled and satisfied. Because one like God, my fellow, that's what God calls Christ, my fellow in Zechariah, decided willingly to lay down his life. The reason why you and I are here tonight is because one who knew no sin, one who took our nature, yet without the sinful nature, one who was made lower than the angels, temporarily for the suffering of death, one who was rejected, one who was cast out, one who was denied and say, this fellow will not rule over us. One whom they said, is this not the carpenter's son? Are these not his brethren here with us and his sisters? Where did he get this wisdom? That is the reason why you and I are here. God showed his perfect, God exercised his complete anger on the cross when he nailed his own son, poured upon him the fullness of his fury. Honestly, God forbid, and I pray this all the time, and God help me, I want to be right with him. I want to hear you, Lord, and I want to do your will. And I hope and I pray that you have that, honestly, believe me, because every one of us, we all know ourselves. And one thing that we can all agree together is that we are vile men. Even our religion cannot cover us. But the righteousness of God through Christ, the righteousness of God through Christ is the reason why we can go home at night and sleep in peace. The righteousness of God in Christ is the reason why you and I can be driving and will not be looking left and right. Because where we are, he is there. So my brothers, when you see God's righteous anger being displayed, don't ask why. Just thank God that his word is being fulfilled in our time. And praise him. Okay. So, I want to wrap up. Let me just touch on a pure heart. You and I need a pure heart to come before God. There is something that I wanted to share here. Yes. I'll just wrap it up here.
No, let's just make this part 4.
Okay.
You need to go back.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, in fact, I broke it into 2 because I'm going to continue from verse 22 to 27. But...
We need to stop here.
Yeah, okay. What I want to conclude here is this. When our journey from Egypt began with the word of God, God called us out from Egypt with the word. And through the wilderness, God is feeding us with his word. Until the time we come to glory, God called us through his word. God is keeping us through his word. And God is going to glorify us through his word. There's no in between. So in every day of our lives, make consistent efforts. Meet with God in his word so that he can direct, be the light for us to see where we are going. Thank you. Amen. 40 minutes went so fast.
Thought I would not shortchange you and me by him rushing through the next 2 points. This is something you have to learn about when God is pleased to allow you to enter into a thoughtful, spirit-aided consideration of biblical truth where there has been some careful development of the text. It's important for you guys to know. And what I wanted to do was save him from becoming rushed and disappointing both himself and the Spirit of God. The next couple of subjects that he had in the outline, really pure heart, humble heart, teachable spirit, requires another study on its own. So we'll grant him that opportunity. It's so very important in the delivery of the Word of God for you to be sensitive to timing, progression, and development of the subject that you're dealing with, but most importantly, sensitivity to the presence and working of the Spirit of God. It was a good study, wasn't it? Very good, very good study. Brother George is not used to working through a structure. So this is the first time he developed an outline. He's more extemporaneous. But one of the reasons I have you guys working through structures is because structure teaches discipline. Structure teaches discipline. Discipline forces you to stay within parameters and progressively work through the text without meandering too much into other areas that you might spontaneously be inclined to want to drift into, which can be entertaining. They can also be informative, but they can show a kind of undisciplined aspect of your character that can be a stumbling block. So when it's your turn to come up, you guys will also be reined in if you should go beyond. I'm always sensitive to the Spirit. I could have sat and listened to him much longer, but it's important for us to stop now. So we can get into some Q&A or just deal with some issues before we close in prayer and send you guys home. What did you think about the Word? Who has some ideas? What impact did this study make on you in terms of the Word of God tonight? Anybody? Raise your hand. I know somebody ought to have something to say. Thank you, Brother Paul. I need a runner. Yeah, Brother Paul, give it to the deacon back there. Hold on. Let him get back there. Yeah.
Just from the beginning of the message, Brother George, I was completely blessed. The Spirit of God honored your labors. And you were speaking directly to me. And just the whole message at one time where it said, be slow to speak, quick to listen, almost made me feel like I got to speak next week. I hope the Lord is going to be with me, especially during this week of preparation. So, I mean, it's perfect timing for me to say, reset yourself, reprioritize your time. Think about this next week. Look at your calendar. Set some things aside and just put God first. And it's just, I was blessed.
It's huge, huh?
I was blessed.
It's huge, isn't it? And what a blessing. What a blessing. All right, fellas, you better lift your hands. If you guys, if the subject of the Word of God that he talked about, there is nothing more important in your life. You may think so, but there isn't. There's not one thing in your life more important than you hearing the Word of God. Not one. Not one. Your family is not more important. Your work is not more important. Nothing is more important in your life than hearing the Word of God. Nothing changed your life but the Word of God. Nothing keeps you when you fall but the Word of God. Don't ever, and you know, when he got into be quick to hear and slow to speak, what I do is I work through antithesis. When you give me a proposition, I look on the other side of it. How horrible it would be to be slow to hear. How clogged up my heart would be. How depraved my mind would be. How corrupt my soul would be if I was slow to hear. If you had to drag me out of my lethargy to hear. If hearing God's word was so apathetic to me and indifferent, and so I'm so aloof to God's word, I'd be a mess. God have mercy on me. If I had an attitude where I could take it or leave it. That's the damnation of the world, as you're going to hear tomorrow. I just thought about when George, this is what blessed me, is that the word, if you just listen to it, is so apropos. It speaks to us so right on. Lord have mercy on us. He was right. We are blessed by the grace of God just to be here to hear the word tonight. Go on.
Yes, it struck me last week in preparation and going out with Dante and Jim today. You know how the Lord can teach you things, and it's like that small, still voice where he'll just be talking to you. It's that small, still voice. You don't hear audible or nothing, but
No. You
know that you're being taught some things that you didn't know.
Right.
And so this quick to hear, and you might have heard me say in my prayer, Lord, make us a big old giant ear.
Yeah.
And I told Dante now, which I thought about it last week, I said I felt like the Lord was leading me that way. That when we go out, let's make sure we listen, because a lot of times people will be answering their own question.
Right.
They're talking.
Right.
So, but if we're listening, we can catch that answer.
Right.
And maybe relay it back.
That's right.
You maybe not even have to open the Bible, just dialoguing.
Very
so he
Matt.
Showed me, the Lord is showing me how, and I don't, you know, I it's hard for me to even explain it. But over time, I feel like he's working with me. This could be my gifted part of my Christian walk,
yeah. You
know, and I'm so happy. It's just like putting a glove on my hand. It fits.
Yeah.
So pray for us.
Yes.
And I love the way it said, slow to speak. Slow to speak. And there again, we have to be that big old ear.
That's right.
You know, not always ready to talk. Because I know a few years ago, I was always talking.
Yep.
You know, I had a whole lot to say. But as the years progressed, it looked like I slowed down and kept my mouth closed and had the big ear.
Yep.
And I believe God gave me that big ear, and I'm glad he did, because I'm able now to just listen. And that's a skill. That's something we have to develop, you know, because I know I was talking to a friend on the phone once, and he thought I had hung up. And I told him, no, I'm listening to what you're saying. So I had to exercise that so I can actually hear what he had to say, because a lot of times we hurrying up so we can say the next thing after they finish. We want to talk. See, but that's something I don't think is kosher.
It's not
we need to wait, you know, and if people know that we are able to hear what they got to say, they'll respect us.
Right.
And we are actually respecting one another.
That's right.
When we do that.
Amen.
So pray for us as we're being taught by that small, still voice.
Amen. Here we go. Right over here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. May we all be men of few words. Men of few words.
Yeah, Pastor, you just corrected me by saying that it's the most important thing to hear the Word of God. And I always thought it was more important to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I've heard the Word of God for years, but I never did live it.
Right.
So how am I wrong? Can you break that down for me?
Yeah. Your doing was not really doing if it wasn't hearing first, and you know that. A person's obedience, as George had quoted out of 1 Samuel chapter 6, where King Saul offered sacrifices allegedly to God when he was supposed to destroy the Amalekites, was in substitution to the obedience of hearing. There is an obedience of works that is done as a substitute to the obedience of hearing. It's called religion. It's a form of rebellion against the humility that's required to hear. Are you gentlemen hearing me? Hearing requires humility, and humility says your part in this is to sit still and listen. But often in our pride, we'd rather do something than to sit and hear. And what George was saying is that the net effect of a thorough, comprehensive hearing will be an appropriate response of obedience. And so, yeah, obedience is a net consequence of accurately and comprehensively hearing. I hope that helps. It's not to hear only, but to hear primarily. Somebody else?
Yes, Brother Mack, I want to commend you for God using you to get out there and witness. And I believe that God also will always send you someone to speak to share his word. And last week, my daughter called me from South Carolina because she's kind of seeing this guy, and she knows my walk with Christ, and she's been sharing some of the things with this gentleman. And I guess this guy was so fired up, he wanted to talk to me. So immediately my motive was, I'm going to share the gospel with this guy. I'm going to do the talking. I'm going to show him where I'm coming from. But God stopped me in my tracks. And so I was sharing this with my wife, too. This is kind of piggyback from my wife. You know, she always helps me with this hearing thing because she checks me on it every time that she's trying to speak with me, and she'll say, what did I say? And most of the time I can't remember because, like Mac said, I'm so busy trying to, you know, get my two cents in. But I'm learning, and I asked her a question. I said, well, what do you think I should go with this wife? I said to my wife, she said, well, honey, just listen. And so he called me because I was terrified at first because, you know, like I said, I didn't know what to say to this guy and how to approach him. And so, and I was asking God, you know, give me some guidance. So finally he called me. And so I just kept it simple. And I took, because he was talking about trying to, was considered marry my daughter and things like this. And so I just asked him a simple question. You know, if you're considering marriage, what do you think God's view of marriage is? And he couldn't answer the question. So that gave me an opportunity to piggyback in. So I didn't have to express the gospel in that form, but I was able to piggyback in and start talking to him. And when I found out, he said, I asked him about the Bible. He said, well, I don't really read the Bible, or but I have the Bible, and I have the Mormon book and all this. So he was going on. So I just was able to kind of, you know, minister to him, you know, from that point of view. But I think the main thing is, like I said, what I get out of this is the listening, just stopping and listening.
Yeah, we have to be that way. If you're going back there, Brother Paul, you have to be that way. If you're going to be profitable to men's souls, You can't be wasting your words. If you guys want a chapter to learn, to memorize about this, it's Proverbs 15. Take Proverbs 15. It's the whole chapter is about that. Just in your own time, let Proverbs 15 minister to your soul. It will help you make the distinction between profitable speech and unprofitable speech and discreet words and the ability to communicate and listen and hear people. It's beautiful. Proverbs is very good on that. It's critical. Now, Brother Harold, with that young man, you know, the marriage subject is a premise for the gospel, as you know. And so you just work with him. If he's falling in love with your daughter, then you got him for a minute. You know what I'm saying? You got him for a minute. Calde.
This is a beautiful text because in my experience, a brother shared with me a text that I got interested in this week, John 16, where the Christ was speaking to his disciples about the woman that it'll be like a woman in travail. And I find that listening for me, because it goes against my carnal nature, is an affliction.
Yep.
I have to wrestle with myself. And it takes, God uses my economy, like my kid, my son, you know, experiences with my former spouse, people that I have to listen to in order to get along with. Mm-hmm. And just nurture those relationships for whatever, you know, whatever level they are on. So these texts are, I mean, it's something that I easily, like my son does, read, likes to do the lazy reading and run over the passages. But there's a lot of rich stuff. I'm glad you know, parked it for a minute, because we need to really wrestle with it. And for me, that experience is always an affliction that I have to ask God to comfort me in, because it's not something that I can run from successfully, because the whole world, I was at a wedding today, and it actually, I had a chance to talk to somebody who was sitting next to me regarding the gospel. They grew up in Seventh-day Adventist, but they now have this libertarian, humanistic, progressive view. And I listened to them carefully, and then I was ready to cast down every high thing that they were propagating. But it was something that, it was still a wrestle, because it was, they were so adverse to hearing the truth. So it's a continuum. This travailing is a continuum. For me, I just have to continue to pray and ask God to humble me and to show me where my pride is popping up all the time and trying to, you know, similar to the world, although I'm caught, I can't move, where they're trying to run away from the travail. They, you know, reject all of the kingdom order. So thank you so much that the Lord brought this and dropped it into the heart of George to bring it, prepare it for us.
One or two more. Right there. Start with John and then come up front. One, we'll close it down after this.
I was just going to say from Brother George, one thing that I really got from him was the fact that when we're talking about being slow to speak, but one of the things that I think that really stuck out for me is just continuing to hear. When he said continuing to hear, I mean, he actually could have, for me, he could have went more into that and dug in a little bit more. But that's one thing that really stuck out to me.
Yeah, excellent. Continuing to hear, that's what the proverb says too. I might sound redundant when I run you to the proverbs, but the proverbs is where God taught me wisdom. When I was a young man, 18 years old, 18 to 35, Proverbs is where I swam, where I lived, where I immersed myself, because the pithy sayings in Proverbs are seeds of truth that branch out into every aspect of building.